Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. It's an interesting title because I'm not sure it's really a major point to make, but this particular title, David's Psalm of Praise, is never seen in any other psalm. I don't know if that really means anything or not, that specific title. The only title that would come close to that would be Psalm 100, which is titled A Psalm of Praise. Just threw it out for you. I will extol thee. The word extol is used by David many times in the Psalms to express the desire of lifting up praise and adoration to God. Its focus is one object, and that is the exaltation of the person of and the greatness of God. Let's take a look at that, a few passages, beginning in Psalm 30. Again, the word extol is used by David many times in the Psalms to express the desire of lifting up praise and adoration to God. Its focus is one object, the exaltation of the greatness, works, and person of God. Psalm 30, verse 1, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Psalm 68, verse 4. And when you keep reading these psalms over and over and over again, always the backdrop, God's deliverance, God's rescue, God's power of salvation, always seen over and over and over in these psalms. Not just arbitrary, unattached, you know, just blurting out a praise. You're praising God for something. This is the point. There's always a reason why people are praising God in the Bible. There's always a specific reason. And, you know, it's wonderful to get up of a morning and thank God for the day and whatnot. But you thank God for the day. You're thanking God for something. And that's wonderful. But let it extend to everything. And you see all this praise of God all the time, in the greatest tests and trials, in circumstances that are, well, doorway of death. All the time he's thanking God, all the time for his deliverance. You have to have something really to praise God about in your life, or else it won't happen. I mean, there is a cause and effect. It's just there. I mean, you can't praise God like this for nothing, because David doesn't do it. There are specific reasons why he's praising God in this fashion. You understand that? I mean, this is something we have to get a hold of. Because then if you don't, you'll manufacture praise. And I think that's nonsense. You know, so we can't just do what the continual pattern has been in the church, which is avoid suffering, avoid trials, avoid testing. You see no deliverance, so let's see. There's all this praise in the Bible. We haven't been delivered from anything, which really is the cause of the praise. God's deliverance, God's power, God's salvation. This is what generates the praise from the heart of the person whom the Lord has delivered. So let's see. That ain't happened. Let's make a whole bunch of praise songs. The songs that are here are still the result of all this deliverance of the Lord. Rescuing, Psalm 68:4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, which is short of Jehovah, shortened form of Jehovah. Rejoice before him. Go back to Psalm 145. All this praise is done because of God's deliverance. I just don't think you can fake it. It's not designed to be faked. The spiritual life is not designed to be faked. That's why when people try it, it becomes a frustration to them. Because true spiritual life is not designed to be faked, because it is supernatural life. And you can't fake that. It's not going to work. And if all we're going to do is have a life with no trials, no tests, no suffering for the master's sake, no persecution, well, it's going to be no praise. I'm not endorsing Andre Crouch. Believe me, I'm not. But he said it right many years ago. If I never had a problem, someone tell me. Wouldn't no God could solve it. That makes all the sense in the world. If I never had a problem, I would never know a God could solve it. That's how you know. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. It's always about God. Never about David, never about the song, never about his singing. It's always about God. Psalm 5, verses 1 and 2, to the chief musician upon Nehelath, the psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My King, my God. David was a king, but he knew that he also had a king over him. And in fact, the way that he ruled Israel showed that he had a king over him who was directing his throne. Okay. And in doing that, he acknowledged no other help or source of help except from his king, as the people who were under David's kingship would go to him for their help and supply and protection. Same thing. David said, my King and my God. The relationship that David had with God was real. He belonged to God. That there was this relationship where God was his God. That their relationship was there. It was real. Again, it didn't have to be manufactured. No one had to remind David of his relationship to God, because it was real. You don't find David, you know, sitting around trying to figure out, is God with me or not? Let's see, is God in this or not? Let me pray for the will of God, because I don't know what God wants me to do. And that's nuts. That would be like me getting up in the morning and wondering, are you my wife? I wonder if this woman is, what's her name again? It's nuts. Listen, church, please. You know, I know I say a lot of things, and a lot of things are funny, but I ain't laughing about this. This has to be for real. Okay? Above every relationship, above every desire, above everything in your life and mine, is our relationship with God. That must never die. That must never get old. That must never get stale. And it must never be ignored. I can't make that happen for anybody. As I told my wife, I said, I got to make sure my life is tight. I'm responsible for me and making sure I'm walking with the Lord. I can't do that for nobody else. Okay? No one else could do it for you or me. I'm not looking over nobody's shoulder. That's not my job. It's not my place to do this or not do that. I can't do that. I have to make sure one person's walking with the Lord. That's Harley Howard. And that's enough right there. Okay, you take care of your own experience with the Lord. Just make sure it's biblical. Now, I shouldn't have to even tell you that. And just say I'm not telling you that, because you shouldn't have to be told that. He belonged to God, and God was his God. God wasn't this distant, uncaring, uninterested deity. He was very near and dear to David. When David went to the Lord, he knew God was listening, and God wasn't just listening. God was there working and helping and bringing him through. And since God was David's God and David was God's servant, then God was not just the creator, but also the sustainer of his life. And he's the sustainer of ours too. Psalm 74, verse 10. Who do you think brought us through all this year? last year, year before last, all your life. I always take inventory all the year through. I'm not much into symbolism. I mean, that you get older, that stuff really it dies out. You don't sit around and think about symbolism is overrated. I mean, today's Wednesday. What's going to be tomorrow? What is it going to be any different tomorrow than it is today, except it's another year, another number? You still got to either get up, if the Lord will, and you still got to do life. Everyone's slap happy the last few weeks. They're thinking they got all this joy. Now everyone's all depressed, thinking the world's going to collapse. I told you to keep your eye on Israel. Pay attention to your pastor sometimes. Might help you. My focus has been on them. I don't care what happened in the doggone retail. I'm looking at Israel now. I'm like, okay, got my Jerusalem Post. And so, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, this is good. And just for the record, I'm in full support of what Israel's doing. I think they ought to keep doing it until they wipe Hamas off the face of the globe. Their sovereign right. 6,000 rockets were fired into Israel in the last 15 months. 6,000. Hamas fired 6,000 rockets into Israel. Where's the outcry for that? There is anti-Semitism, the hatred to the Jewish race all over the place. The American media hates the Jews. 6,000 rockets. If someone blew up an M80 in downtown Los Angeles, we'd never hear the end of it. 6,000 rockets. Israel should have launched this offensive 5,999 rockets ago. And I hope they get the job done this time. Finish the job. Finish what you started. Go it alone. You don't need America, and you don't need Europe. You don't need anybody else to get anyone's approval to protect your sovereignty. So all my Jewish friends out there, good, go for it. It's about time. This world is stupid. And if world leaders keep listening to the rest of the world, they're going to wind up losing their sovereignty, just like America is going to lose theirs. Keep on being the fool. It's going to happen. Hope not. Oh God, how long, verse 10, shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withholdest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Again, same teaching. He said, God is my God. The God was my true and living God. He called God the King of old, meaning that God is King forever. He's the eternal King. And the King of the nation of Israel, working deliverance in the midst of the earth, sustaining Israel, sustaining his people. Without God, Israel would be nothing. Psalm 89, over and over again. Psalm 89, verse 18, for the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Defense against what? This continually comes up, this continued attack against Israel and the kings and what have you. It's amazing. And this gets ignored. This all gets ignored. Let's find a psalm to make me happy, because I ain't going through nothing significantly biblical, remotely biblical. So I got to do something, because, well, first I close the Bible so I don't have to deal with it. And then let's pull out my praise music and focus in on how wonderful the person's saying. And I feel good about it, so that must be from the Lord. You don't get it. Always the backdrop of defense again, from enemies, etc., all the time. Go to Psalm 149. The reason why it's a necessity to keep making these repetitions throughout the Psalms, obviously, because one, it's repetitive throughout the Psalms, but it's repetitive for a reason. And the reason is, of course, the writers want us to understand who God is. The fullness of his power, the fullness of his majesty, the wonder of his greatness. I don't know how people get an understanding of God by ignoring one of the books that teaches so much about him. I don't know how in the world people, I don't know where they get the view of God from. I really don't. The church has really fall off the wagon, kicked the wagon off the cliff. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Israel, rejoice in their king. Now, we went through this already, didn't we? So I'm not going to go back there about the that people. That people refers to Israel. This is just another proof of that statement. Isaiah 33. The Lord God is the king of Israel. Period. Isaiah 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. That's not salvific trust in Jesus' salvation. That's deliverance again from the enemies. Isaiah 43, 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One. Now he's talking to Israel, the creator of Israel, your king. God is God. That's A. Okay, the Holy One, that's B, the creator of Israel, that's C, and their king. God created the nation of Israel, not a UN resolution. I've said this before, I'm surprised, and I guess I shouldn't be, that even the nation of Israel, modern Israel, talks about their existence as a nation as if it happened in 1947, UN resolution. Like, what? You've existed for hundreds of years. What are you talking about? Your beginnings didn't start in UN resolution, blah, 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 1947? This is crazy. The minute God created you was the minute you existed. Period. I'm shocked. Okay, Isaiah 44, 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. He's the King of Israel. The Redeemer, that's the Deliverer of Israel. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of armies. No wonder they had continued praise or reasons to praise. God continually delivered. He displayed his great power of deliverance to his people. And last, Malachi 1. In fact, by the time of the writing of Malachi, Israel really fell off the wagon in their true and proper worship of the Lord God. I mean, the priesthood was all corrupt. They were tired and bored. They sniffed like, you know, at the work of God. To them, it was all boring. They sniffed at it. It's like you're going, like you just did. Like you just did. It sniffed at it. It don't even matter. Just went through the motions of, stop doing that. Sounds for me, doesn't it? Malachi 1:14. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. That here they're supposed to offer up a spotless animal, a spotless sacrifice unto the Lord. And so the person is who is the deceiver. He vows he's going to sacrifice this particular animal to the Lord for sacrifice, this pure animal. And then when it comes time to do it, he sacrifices a defective animal. God says, cursed be that person that has in his flock a male and voweth he's going to commit this particular offering and sacrifice to the Lord. And then when it's time to do it, he sacrifices a Lord a corrupt thing. Now, why is that significant? It's not significant to us. Listen to me carefully. I just read part of that. That really has no bearing on our thinking. I mean, we don't offer up lambs, rams, or bullocks. And so it's like, okay, fine. No relevance. Here's the relevance. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The significance is that Israel got so bored with obedience to God that they forgot who God is. That's the significance. They promised they were going to do this for the Lord, and then when it came time to do it, they didn't do it, and to them it was no big deal. And worse, not only not offer up the appropriate sacrifice that God demanded and deserved, but give him the one that he does not need and did not want, which is defiled. That's contemptible. That's why he said, curse be that person. Because you don't recognize God as a great king. I don't need to make any applications. If you hear, you got ears here, you can make your own application. He said, my name is dreadful. My name is terrible. It's fearful among the heathen. Among the heathen, they show me more reverence than you do. Man, their very existence as a people and as a nation was because of God and God alone. So if they were to be sustained, it was because of God and God alone. He made a covenant with them and their fathers and was faithful to keep the covenant, even though Israel failed many times to keep the end of it. He said, you people don't reverence me as a great king. My name is dreadful among the heathen. I wonder what our thinking is, I tell you. Back to Psalm 145. David said, God is my king, and I will bless his name forever and ever. He will glorify the Lord forever. We will glorify him because of who he is, represented by the name of the Lord and what that name represents. It represents everything. Every attribute, every glorious work, every power, everything there is to know about God is represented in the name of the Lord. We've been taught already that the name represents the fame, the glory, and the reputation of God. His name represents all of his character, all of his person, all of his attributes. It speaks of his majestic power and glory, which is all infinitely distinct from all of his creation. To call upon the name of the Lord, therefore, is to call upon the full measure of God himself. That's why, again, if you don't know your Bible, you will not know these things. To call upon the name of the Lord is to call upon the full measure of God himself. But until we know our Bibles, we won't know that. That's why this is all important. We're not just calling on some God concoction in our brains or something mama told us on her knee and grandmama or some, you know, preacher from some church. No. This is God we're talking about. This is why it's so foolish to lightly use the name in vain, the name of the Lord in vain or in vulgar terms. His name is representative of himself and therefore not to be used lightly at all. And it goes way beyond the listed names of God in Scripture. Again, but to the full character, person, and works and glory of God. Way beyond what's listed. Full measure of God himself. That's incomprehensible. And yet to call upon the Lord is to do that very thing. He is therefore to be praised forever and will be by all his creation one day, yet future. He stated that he will bless the Lord forever. And then in verse 2, he makes it even very specific. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. So he says, I'm going to bless your name forever in the general sense, And then in specific sense in verse 2, he says, every day. Now, that's doing it. It's every day he gets up. Every day he goes throughout the day. Every day he lays down. I'm going to bless you and praise your name forever, day after day, every day. David said that he would bless the Lord forever and ever. His praise of God will not begin in the New Jerusalem or in the hereafter. Oh, no. I just can't wait to get to heaven so I can praise God. You better start doing it now. You may not get there. His praise would begin every morning of every day. The first day of everlasting praise of God is the first moment you know him. From the moment you allegedly came to know the Lord, that begins your day of praise. And I'm telling you, for the one gajillion time, nobody has to tell me that. No one has to tell you that. If the Lord did anything for you to save you, I don't need to tell you anything about praising God. Your own wretchedness and former wretchedness will compel you to praise God when you see and know what he saved. God would never take that away from my mind, what he saved. And every time I'm reminded of it, which is pretty much every day, I will praise him for it. I know what he saved. I can't convey that to you. I'm not supposed to make you feel like you have to praise God because, well, I understand what the pastor went. No, you don't understand what I went through. And that's not the compelling nature of why you should be praising God anyway. What did you go through? What did he deliver when he delivered, and if he delivered you? Or are you just one of these nice sinners like Simon the Pharisee? You know, he loveth little. I was the prostitute. Okay. He who was forgiven much loveth much. I was the prostitute. I was not Simon. Every day will I bless you. Every day. Daily praise begins in the heart of the worshiper every day. The first day of everlasting praise of God is the first moment you know him, and that will be stirred up in your heart. I don't want to have a heart and know a heart that cannot praise the Lord on the merits of salvation alone. I don't want to get near that heart that has to be told. And I thank God I never had to be told to praise God. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care how good, how bad, how ugly it is. I don't care. Praise is going to come out of this mouth to God, regardless what goes on, because he deserves it. And I look at my life, and I told you already, to have the privilege to be doing this over 30 years, how can I not praise God? Lives being changed, people writing and calling time after time for years. How can I not give God glory for all this stuff? It don't matter what people do or not doing. It matters what the Lord is doing. He will get him glory. From Harley Howard's mouth. I don't care what goes on. He deserves the praise for who he is. And I thank him time and time and time again. No matter what circumstance David found himself in, when you examine the totality of his life, he always praised God. And we've seen the truth throughout all this great book of the Psalms, and we'll continue to see it till we finish with it. All through the Psalms. Over and over again, over and over, praising God, even in the midst of the most horrific circumstances, death's door, knocking at him, surrounded by death, surrounded by his enemies, friends forsaking him, loved ones, people despise, slaves despising this great man. He's praising God. He believes God will deliver him, and God does, over and over and over again. And he says, I want to be delivered so I can go back to the temple and praise you. So that the people of God can see and get courage. And it happens. verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I mean, I sit here and I wonder, how in the world can I even begin to interpret something like this? And yet, there is interpreting in this. Great is the Lord. As great as God is, that should be in parallel to the praise of God. And since God's greatness is unsearchable, then praise should be unstoppable. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Because he's great, he is to be greatly praised. It's not the first time this expression is used concerning God by the psalmist or even others. Look at 1 Chronicles 16. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is incomprehensible, which in and of itself should bring forth praise. You notice when you actually praise another human being, there's always limitation. You recognize there's a limitation to it. If a person does something that's nice, you attach a value of thanks to it, and that's about it. It diminishes. There's always a level to it. Someone does something, well, thank you so much for, and that, you know, there's diminishing capacity. You know, 80 years later, you thank you're welcome, and everything's it's closure. Thank you for the cake. Okay, you're welcome. See the closure? Thank you, you're welcome. There you go. You have to keep thanking her for the cake. The cake's been, it's already been eaten and digested and gone, all right? The body divided up the carbohydrates and the water and all that, and it's all digested and all the enzymes, vitamins, minerals, gone. So don't thank her for the cake anymore. It's over. The cake is gone. You might say, that was a good cake. Yeah, okay. I'm glad you liked it. Move on. Okay, the cake's gone, right? But God isn't gone. His greatness is unsearchable. You can't thank him enough to have closure with him. Because in your worst situation, God is still God. He said, but my situation ain't getting no better. So what? That doesn't diminish who God is. Maybe we focus on the wrong stuff. Maybe our focus is in the right place. Well, I'm looking, you know, I know God is great, but you look up. Oh, now what do you see? Well, I don't see my circumstance. That's right. So if all we see is right, we ain't going to look up. Oh, God sits in the heavens. He looks down upon the children of men. There's a reason why we're told to look to the heavens. You look up, you know there's nothing you can do about that. Your circumstance is nothing compared to what's above you, the heavens, the clouds, the stars, the sky. The sun and the moon, it's beyond you. That's the whole purpose. He says, look at the lilies. Lady was trying to sell me a flower the other day. It was a beautiful flower, orchid. But that thing is nice. I ain't gonna buy it, but it is nice. You look at the intricate design. So we can stop and look. That is beautiful. I'm not going to buy it, but it's beautiful. We don't stop to look at the lilies of the field. The Lord said, consider the lilies of the field. Look at them. Meditate upon them. Look at the beauty of them. And recognize that all of what man can do cannot be arrayed like one of these. He says, look at the birds, the sparrow, look at the ant. Look. Don't bypass these things. Small things. Things that just amaze you. If you stop. Instead of always looking at the circumstance, well, circumstance, whole life, circumstance. Look up. Look in the heavens. We're tripping at that planet. Now, I used to be into astronomy big time when I was a teenager. I had all the reflecting, refracting telescopes. I had cameras set up where I took pictures of the planet. That's the first time in my life that I've ever seen Mars in a crescent shape. It was a half moon. Mars, half. I've never seen that before. That thing was big, too. Out there freezing. I said, I got to see this. I said, see, it's amazing. And the blackness, and it was so bright. Who but a guy could put that up there like that? Amazing. The thank God. I said, thank you, God, for something as amazing as this. My circumstance is not my life. God is my life. And the day the circumstance becomes your life, you're dead. Verse 23 of 1 Chronicles 16. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his deliverance. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. He's talking to Israel. God's people are to be responsible to let the world know about the goodness, power, majesty, and splendor, and the beauty of the Lord. Why? For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That's why he is to be declared among the heathen. That's why he is to be spoken of and his works to be revealed among all nations. Great is the Lord. The Lord is great, and his greatness is beyond our comprehension. His greatness is beyond our comprehension. He is to be praised because of his greatness. God is to be praised because of who he is. He is great, and because of that, he is to be praised greatly. Not only is the Lord to be praised, but he is to be feared above all other so-called gods, because there are no other gods. For the gods of the people or the peoples are idols, meaning that they are nothing but the works of man's hands and have no power whatsoever. And the contrast is, but the Lord made the heavens. See, there's the heavens again. Look up. My first real encounter and understanding of God was when I looked up. I could take it to the exact location. And God has given me the wonderful experience of life to remember. I still see it as if it was happening today, vividly. My first encounter with seeing God was when I looked up and saw the light from the heavens, the beams of the sun, the rays from those blue skies and those semi-gray clouds. It was amazing. Look up. The Lord made the heavens. All the gods of the people are idols. All they do is make whatever is earthy, what's tangible, what's temporal, what's nothing. He said, the Lord is the creator of the heavens, of everything. No idol created anything. The only true God is the creator of everything. Paul reaffirmed the same truth in 1 Corinthians 8. Because idols are nothing, and the true and living God is the creator, then he is to be feared. The word fear means to sense one's own weakness joined with trembling. That's what it means. Recognize your own weakness. Mm-hmm. Very limited. You know, we're fragile beings. Don't take much to knock our tents down. I'm telling D, this is the year I've been walking into everything. I'm walking into walls, kicking stuff, bumping into stuff. You know, before it didn't bother me. Now I'm seeing marks. And I go, where'd that mark come from? Oh, yeah, you walked into that wall the other day. Your arm brushed up against this or hit that. Your toe hit that. You start seeing all kinds of bruises and marks. You can't blame it on your mate. You know, you can't use that to get sympathy. I still got a couple here that haven't healed yet. And I don't even know how it happened. Big old bruises. I don't know how these things happen. They're still around. I can't say she did it. She might have to. No. Little humor for those of you who still have some. Some people ain't got no humor. But anyway, that's been around for almost a month. You don't even heal. Our tents are very fragile. You get blood work. Suddenly this whole big giant blob of, you know, what did that happen? You just got a little kneeling, a big old bruise right there. These tents are very fragile. I think we think they're not fragile. Know your weakness. Know your humanity. Know that at any given moment, the tent can be folded. We're not going to be here forever. We were talking about a television program. Something came up on TV. And I said, D, that was, what I say, 14 years ago? One was 20 and one was 14. I'm like, I am old. 14 years ago. Like, this is, it just, boop, went by. But see, I thank God I don't look back and go, oh, I wish I could have, should have, had a, woulda, mudda. And all these folk I'm here, well, you know, I'm just blah, blah, and blah, 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 and I'm going to take care, I'm going to do God's will. Y'all don't get it. Time is flying by. A day will turn to a week and a month and a year. 2-3 years will come by. I ain't even looked at my Bible in 3 years. Well, you know, you thought it was a couple of weeks. Next thing you know, you're getting older, gray, and you develop that pattern. Now it don't even matter anymore. Well, it's too late. Yeah, it's too late. It was too late 3 years ago. You've been developing this pattern of your life where it's not a priority, and you know what? It ain't. Then the years go by, and then you try to go back. It's too late. You know why? Because nothing there in the first place. That's the funny, unfunny thing about folk. Folks don't realize there was nothing there in the first place to go back to. You read your Bible 2 days before, you thought you had revival. There was a time I read my Bible. How embarrassing is that? What else do you... You mean that you can't sit your behind down and read a Bible? It's on every doggone format known to mankind. This is ridiculous. We got time for everything else. I told you. You cannot put speed, apply fast as an application to everything in life. Some things require time. Requires time. We talked about that this week. Relationships require time. If you don't put any time in a relationship, well, by jinkies, nothing gonna happen to it. The relationship don't exist because you know each other. Relationships, there's no diminishing capacity. There's no closure in a relationship unless it ends. Relationship, like anything else that's valuable, takes time. Things of value take time. There was a guy, I saw it on AOL. I don't know what his thinking was, but he took his Etch-A-Sketch. You saw that one? And did a perfect picture of Tiger Woods swinging. It was amazing. 80 hours. 80 hours to do that. That Etch-A-Sketch would have been out the door, ran over with the car. throwed and flung every piece in individual directions for 80 minutes if I couldn't get, you know. Things that are of value take time. I'm not saying it's valuable. I'm just saying, well, it looked perfect. I mean, I knew the picture he drew. He drew a perfect copy off from a picture that was nice. Relationships take time. They're nurtured by a continual feeding and interjecting of each other into each other's life. It's precious. Way above all, that is the Bible. There's nothing more important than the Bible. Nothing. And no one. We don't do it. These things take time. And everyone's too busy. Next thing you know, boom, a year's gone by. I coulda, woulda, shoulda. Year two. You know, one day I'm gonna, year three. I got all this life at four. You know, I just wish I had a five. On and on. Then by the time six, seven, it's too late. The pattern's been set in motion. So all it is an excuse. Yeah, I need to really, 8, 9, 10, grave. Then it doesn't become a priority. So when people who make it a priority talk to you about it, then you respond like you act like it's been a priority. How, really? When was it a priority? You get to the place where you don't even see it's not a priority. Others see it because, man, the spiritual is not a priority. God is no longer a priority, if he's ever been. The worship of God, the praise of God, the fear of God, the understanding of God is not a priority. And people who make it a priority, they know. And then you see the shallowness, you know, being thrown about, a verse here and there, gospel. Wait a minute, but what about a relationship with God? What about the relationship with the Word? What about this deep, nurturing relationship with God, his church, his people, etc.? What is that? Does that matter anymore? Nope. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All stems because of a failure to recognize that God is God. And no preacher on earth is going to make people do it. Nah, I'm not. I didn't volunteer for God's, you know, God's deity. It ain't me. Recognizing your own weakness joined with trembling. I don't care how strong you think you are, your tent can fold up in a second. The heart is only beaten because of God. It wouldn't take nothing but something so small to clutch your brain. I don't care how strong and tough you think you're going to be dead. I'm a firm believer in all the good stuff. Supplementation, exercise, that don't matter. This year alone, a guy was in wonderful condition out there playing racquetball, dropped dead right there in front of Bob. Dead in the court. Scared the daylights out them people. For the moment, he's dead. Because it don't matter. These tents fold up very easily. We're talking about getting old today. I said, man, I feel it. We were talking about your mom today. You know, When you were telling me about her condition, I'm going like, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm having this similar problem now, man. You start to get cold, your joints start hurting and what have you. You know, this cold weather we had these last few days. I'm so glad it warmed up just a little bit. I can get happy. Because when it got that cold in the 30s, I went outside. What possessed me to go outside with no gloves or a legitimate jacket? I went outside, that car cover was frozen on the car. I had to defrost the car cover. And then when I finished putting hot water all over the cover to get it off the car and roll it up, it froze to like a car cover burrito. And I put it over there and just let it defrost and melt. I got my car, my hands almost frozen. Like, you idiot, where's your gloves? And you sit in a cold car, it's real cold. It's cold. I got in the car and like closed that door. Oh, I had a heating pad on my shoulder, which should tell you something right there. And so I'm just sticking my hand down in here, driving like this, and then changing my to keep my hands warm. Oh, these tents of ours, friends. God gives us such a limited time, no matter how long or short we think we're going to live. It's only going to be for a little bit. And it would be a pity. It would be a shame of the highest caliber. You see people do shameful, stupid stuff on television. Actors, actresses, people in all different fields, the music field. And you think, that's stupid. Let me tell you what's even worse than that. You have a privilege to live for God and you neglect it. There's nothing more shameful than that. You have an opportunity to do things that matter in the lives of people and you don't take advantage of it. There's nothing more shameful than that. It's a wasted life. I can't think of anything worse than that. Can't. If you're given this privilege, my God, do something with it that matters, because one day you're going to pass this scene. And what are people going to say about us when we're gone? What's the legacy we leave behind? Did we just live for ourselves? Or did we live and it mattered? And these things stay fresh in my mind all the time. They never diminish. They never diminish. The older I get, the more intensified it gets in my thinking. I know my days are few. Few could mean 20, 30, 40 years or a minute. It's intensified in my mind. It doesn't go away. It ain't going nowhere. The closer you get to your final journey, the more these things intensify. You want to make sure you're doing whatever you can with whatever time you think you might have. This is going to be over. And I want to live with no regrets. I'm telling you, I can't think, if you, and you have the privilege, you're still breathing. You say, well, Pastor, I've blown it. Well, stop blowing it. You got today, start today. If you have today, start today. Don't keep the pattern going of wasting your life. Your lives are precious to God. You may not think so, and they may not be to nobody else. I'm sure they are. But more importantly, they're precious to God above everybody else. Look at the spiritual privileges he's given you. Don't ignore them like many others have done. And they're going to pay the price and are paying for it. Not that I wish anything upon anybody. I don't have to. Cause and effect. God doesn't grant us all this privilege and we walk away from it or ignore it or whatever without a price. That's part of the word itself. I don't have to wish anything about. I'm hoping and praying people come back and their minds get restored spiritually. I don't glow. There's no reason to gloat about anything. Because I know what the proverb says about a person who gloats about someone else's ill will. God may turn from that person, turn upon you. I don't want him to turn upon me because I'm stupid, gloating. The reason I have to gloat, I'm saved by the same grace anybody else is. There was no merit to save this pig dog. God is to be praised. Psalm 48. He is to be praised and greatly praised. We don't greatly praise him, and we certainly should. He delivered a bunch of stink sinners, and all of us are, and he should be praised forever for that. We know what we were, and for the grace of God, we still be that and worse. A song and psalm for the sons of Kor. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Obviously, that's to the Jews, and it's in Jerusalem. Psalm 96 in closing. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. There you go again. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Didn't we just see this? Yes. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The nations of the world and all individual heathens need to recognize the Lord's greatness. They need to be reminded to praise God for his glory through his own people. This is about the Lord's work. It ain't about holidays and gift giving. And, you know, it was a pleasure to talk to a man today. Ain't no more bit saved. And I'm 9 feet tall, weighing 6 pounds. He said, Harley, all this celebration is all overrated. I had to sit back and listen to him. He said, I was in New York with my wife years ago, and, you know, we were given the privilege to go out to Times Square because we had rented a hotel, we're in a hotel in the area because of the work he does. And he said, you know, we're out there, and all these people are just freezing cold. We couldn't figure out why these people were standing out here for a whole day freezing their behinds off. He said, and I don't even want to know where they went to the bathroom, man. Out there just to see a big glass ball drop and holler and act a fool. He said, I don't even see, what's the value in that? Said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's you're right. You're getting it. Sometimes it clicks. Sometimes people are like, you know, that's stupid. I said, yeah, it is. What does all this mean? Because tomorrow's going to be Thursday. Okay, and then the next day, some folk will have to go back to work, and everybody Monday, and it ain't gonna be happy juice time. Oh man, we got to go back to that job, and we already depressed. Oh man, and Willie and Wilhelmina weren't happy about their gifts. So they've been more returns than at any other time in the history of gift returning. And they all want cash. So you know what? Because they broke. People spent, get this. Then I'm done. People took the money, bought the gifts for somebody. The person who brought gifts for other people took the gift they got and took it back to the store and got cash. Because they needed the money to pay the bill they're going to get in January. And people went, took them iPods back. I need money. I don't need no stinking iPod or no doll, Bratz doll. I need money. Took all them gifts back and get a refund. We want cash. We want no store credit. We want money. Retailer still going, 170,000 stores going to shut down. Ain't nobody told you to open 170,000 stores, fool. Shut them all down. We got too much junk anyway. I'm sure we probably had this conversation at least 1,000 times. We going down Beach Boulevard. Look at all this stuff. And we start naming all the stores. And if you want shoes, he gets shoes and walk across the street, get them shiny. You want to dirty them up, you can go dirty them up. And you know, go eat there. You want this, eat that. Go back there. And we just name all these stores going down the street. Go, this is ridiculous. Who needs all this stuff? You know, if you want to go to Disneyland, you can go to Disneyland. And then a half hour later, go to Knott's. All on the same street. This is madness. This is crazy. If you don't like Notch chicken, you can go get Kentucky Fried Chicken. You get burgers here, burgers there. You got Fuddruckers. You got, Burger King, McDonald's. the everlasting McDonald's. Chicken McManufactured food and... You can, all this stuff, pay less, shoes for more, on and on, just keep driving. Some of the stuff need to close. You just can't keep expanding everywhere in the universe. It's got, you got two of the same gas stations across the street, right on Brookhurst. One Arco on one side of the street and another Arco on the other side of the street. One has the audacity to charge 2 cents more per gallon than the one across the street. Why? It's the same stupid gas station. I'm going, this is insaneness. Shut one of these things down. 2 seconds past them is a Shell and a Chevron. Some of this stuff needs to shut down. Don't cry on my shoulder. We got too much. Got a Costco and a Sam's Club. And they're crying and competing for each other. 5 or 6 Walmarts within a 10-mile radius. We need all this stuff. We a stuff nation. And then when I've told you, when our stuff gets tough, we start crying about our stuff being removed. We done forgot about God. We done forgot about people. We done forgot about life. We done forgot about things that matter. We just barreling into the stuff, you know, hurricane, the funnel of stuff. It's all that seems to matter. Forgot about what matters, people. When's the last time you just sat and talked to somebody? Wow. So this is what it means to have a conversation. Wow. Listening is fun. What's that you have in your hand? This is a pencil. Is that a stylus? No, it's a pen. What's that coming out? That's called lead. Your paper? We don't know anything about that. Let me look that up on my BlackBerry. Pencil, writing implement. C pen. Pen, writing implement. Both implements obsolete the year 2003. They don't even make those anymore, do they? Just going down that vortex of madness. News stories on dogs. Cat stuck in a tree. Cop was going to shoot folk coming in his yard to rescue the neighbor's cat on his side of the yard because the cat was stuck in his tree for 4 or 5 days. And somebody sent out a news crew for that. You got Israel blowing up Hamas, and we talking about some stupid cat in some dumb tree. Or some dog rescue. It just, it's like, if you let this stuff get you down, you'll be plummeted into the vortex of sarcasm and let me just buy my stuff and die. You won't even care anymore. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, period. Don't need a reason other than that. Lord, thank you again for your greatness. We could never, ever praise you to the level of your greatness because your greatness is unsearchable. But Lord, we are to praise you regardless and because of your greatness, because of all of who you are, because of all of your mercies and grace to us, Lord, we thank you. We pray that you would bless the giving and bless the rest of this day, Lord. And may Keisha get home safe and may she have a home that is warm and friendly when she arrives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.